Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshipped him, and then returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy, and they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. So, the risen Jesus, before he left earth, was there to give his disciples a very important message, the one we've just read. Jesus explains to the disciples the things that had been written about him in the scriptures, in what we now know as the Old Testament. Dead was part of God's sovereign plan, a fulfillment of scripture, which Jesus said also requires that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. He goes on to tell the disciples that they would be the witnesses, the ones responsible to proclaim the good news to people of every nation, beginning in Jerusalem, proclaiming the message that there is forgiveness of sins through Jesus. But to be equipped for this work, Jesus tells them they have to wait for the power from heaven, the Spirit, which will be given to them. And that's what happened at Pentecost, isn't it? The Spirit came upon them and they received power, and they were changed people. As we talked about last week at Pentecost, many pilgrims from different nations were in Jerusalem to celebrate the Festival of Weeks, which is like the Harvest Festival, a thanksgiving for all that God had given them. And it was while they were there that the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples with a mighty wind and what looked like tongues of fire that rested upon them. And they began to speak in the languages of the pilgrims from the different nations. This was a very significant moment. Do you remember the story of Babel or Babel and the tower that was being built? Do you remember that story? Way back in the Bible? It's a story that happened after the Great Flood. God had sent the great flood to reboot the world, if you like. The world had gone a bit crazy and he wanted to reboot it and give it a new start through Noah's family. And things were meant to be better. Yet, here again, the people were disobeying God, and in particular, his command that he'd given them to increase in number and to fill the earth, you know, spread out a bit. Increase and spread out. But they had done the opposite. They had united together to build a tower, to build a city with a tower that reached to the heavens. They wanted to make a name for themselves and become strong and powerful together, in preference to acknowledging God and paying tribute to Him. So God had to step in to protect mankind from Himself. So God confused the people and He scattered them and He gave them different languages. Many times throughout history, we read that God had to judge and punish the people for their immorality and idolatry. But His plan was always to restore these lost, rebellious people to Himself. And His plan was to do this through His chosen people, the Israelites. We read again, right back in the beginning of the Bible, God's promise to Abraham that He would bless all families on the earth through him. And that includes us. Remember that song, Father Abraham has many sons? I am one of them and so are you? That's it. All families on earth will be blessed through Abraham. That was the promise. At Pentecost, when the Spirit came, this hope was realized and Christ's witnesses received the power from on high to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth in all languages. It was a significant event that reversed Babel's confusion in anticipation of the gospel's global spread, when everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's promise was fulfilled, and Jesus' disciples were empowered to go and speak truthfully about what they had seen and heard. This was the beginning of the church's mission, a mission that was written in the Old Testament and fulfilled in Jesus and through his followers everywhere, in all times, to all people. It's a mission which mirrors Jesus' own mission to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. As his people, it is our mission to proclaim that through the atoning death of our Saviour Jesus, freedom is secured for all who repent and seek forgiveness of their sins. Salvation in Christ's name. But to fulfill our mission, we need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, the risen Lord sent his power, empowering his people to proclaim the good news and to proclaim it to the people of the world in their language. Remember, the disciples weren't naturally courageous. They needed the Spirit to empower them. Remember, the disciples were the ones who had deserted Jesus when he was arrested. Some had denied even knowing him. Remember, they had hidden away for a long time in fear of the authorities, in fear that something would happen to them. But in Acts, after the empowerment of the Spirit, we see them boldly preaching the message of Jesus openly. Peter is the one who steps up after that initial blessing of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who speaks up and says, "People, I've got a message to tell you." He wasn't fearful anymore. He was standing up there boldly preaching, and many were added to the numbers because the Spirit enabled them to boldly preach the message of Jesus out on the streets. They weren't fearing the repercussions anymore. They weren't fearing the fact that they could be arrested and thrown into jail. And if you read through Acts, you will see that many times they were arrested and they were thrown into jail. But they continued to boldly preach this powerful message. And they were even more powerful because they devoted themselves to prayer. And we read this in Acts, what they were like as they formed the early church. They devoted themselves to prayer. And again through Acts, if you read it, you'll see that they prayed for each other and they prayed for the spread of the gospel. They prayed for boldness. I wonder if we're devoted to prayer in this same way. Do we bring our needs and our worries and our joys before God? Are we praying for boldness as we live as Christians in this world that desperately needs Jesus? We have a prayer meeting via Zoom every Tuesday night. I'd really like it to grow. I'd really like it if you could join us as we pray together and grow together. How you can join us, it's in the newsletter. So please, I'm asking you to come and join us as a church as we pray on a Tuesday night, because it'll make a difference, a great difference. And as we read in Acts 2, we find that the followers of Jesus were committed to meeting together every day to encourage one another, to learn and grow in the faith, and to worship the Lord. They bonded together and became united. Now, we don't have to go to church every single day, but these believers, they placed an extremely high priority on fellowship. Do we place that same value on meeting together? On having fellowship together? Of being united in one purpose and growing together? What a difference it would make. We saw what happened in our camp last year as we fellowshiped together and grew together, and just how that spirit really fired us. Fellowship together and our church picnics, all those things help us as we grow and bond together. The believers in the early church were also very thankful for everything that Jesus had done for them, and they praised God fervently. And this morning we've praised God, haven't we? The early believers did this despite persecution and alienation that they faced for following this radical new faith. Perhaps we should be praising Him more for the good things He gives us and praising Him simply for who He is. After all, no matter what is going on in our lives, we have much to be thankful for. Jesus died for us, to save us, and to restore our relationship with God, and we're His child, His precious child. The believers were committed to serving and supporting each other, and they demonstrated a radical generosity. They displayed a selfless and sacrificial attitude in caring for each other. How well do we care for each other? Can we improve? Yes, we can. Yes, these believers were actively engaged in sharing the message of salvation. And many came to Jesus because of their witness. Their witness was passionate. They really sought to spread the good news. I ask myself this question, as well as these questions to me, as well as to you. When was the last time that we intentionally shared our salvation story with someone? Someone out there needs to hear it. I'm sure that those who looked on at that community of Christian believers, as we read and as we've just touched on, I'm sure that as people looked in on them, they were attracted to it. It was appealing. I mean, wouldn't we want to be part of a community that was generous and thankful and truly committed? And wouldn't we want to follow a Lord who encouraged these attitudes in the followers? Yes. If we the church are to fulfill our calling, we must focus on preaching forgiveness in Christ, fueled by the Spirit's power. Can't do it without the Spirit. Our mission is to make disciples and teach them to obey all the commands of Jesus. This will be successful if we are united together, passionate, and we fervently commit ourselves to spread this good news. I pray that as God's church here in this place, that we dedicate ourselves anew in this, that we would be a supportive, generous, caring, and thankful community of Spirit-filled Christians. Supportive, generous, caring, and thankful community of Spirit-filled Christians, devoted to reaching out to others with the free gift of life. That gift, remember, that needs to be shared. I pray for this church and for each one of us who are the church, that today that we would rededicate ourselves to share his love with others. I thought that this would be a really good time for prayer.